Morning, good to have you. If you'll turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to start reading in verse 25 and read down through 30, the last part of the chapter. Then verse 25 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he whosoever the Son will reveal him. Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I certainly can't get all this in that I want to. I started one way with this message and wound up a different way, and I got going with it. But I do want to say this, that in the world we live in today, we have a lot and depend a lot on the internet. And if you want to know something, if we do, Rebecca and I do, if we want to know something, we just go on Google and Google it. You know what I mean? And when you Google certain things, you come up with a bunch of false doctrine. You come up with a lot of Arminianism. You come up with a bunch of hate for sovereign grace. You come up with a lot of hate for what we stand for in this church. Amen. And it's not like it's a challenge not like we can compete with these people. They got millions of dollars in these mega churches, and they'll spend it to get themselves stacked on top of the search engines. And first thing you're going to see for the first 50 pages is their stuff. You know what I mean? So it's hard to fight Satan. It's hard to fight false doctrine. And they all mock and make fun of us and what we believe here in this church. But when you study the Bible and the Lord shows you things, then you start to understand what God's talking about, and you start to understand the truth. The Bible is, I've said many times, a revelation. God's gift to us is the understanding of the Bible that we have. The Lord doesn't give us all the understanding. He doesn't give us all the same understanding on every little thing. And sometimes we differ on things. The Lord gives us that wherever how he sees it. But almost all religious organizations call themselves Christians. Almost all religious assemblies that call themselves churches believe the same thing, that works are for salvation. But if you read the Word of God, you find out that works is not part of salvation. Amen. In fact, the Lord said many times in Ephesians 2 and 9, it's one of them, where it's not a work. Salvation is not a work. And many other places we can go to, he says it's not a work. The old Jewish customs were doing the ordinances of God, doing the things that God said in his word, like circumcision and stuff, like they're part of God's salvation, when they're not. No kind of work is part of God's salvation. God's salvation, as he says in Ephesians 2:8, is a gift. Our understanding of God's word is a gift. Everything God does for us as Christians is a gift. So we start out in verse 25, and he says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father." Listen closely what the Lord says. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Why? "Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them unto babes." Now, you want to know why the Jews didn't get Jesus Christ. You want to know why they crucified the Messiah. Not only was it ordained of God that they do that, They didn't know him because the Father didn't allow them to know him. Now, all of this, God wants everybody to be saved, and God wants everybody to believe, and all you have to do is believe, all you have to do is pray this prayer, all you have to do is do this or do that, is false. God's gift of salvation is God's gift to those that are saved. And it's not a gift to those that are not saved. Notice the very words of Jesus here. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou, you, Father, hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to who? Babes. Mm-hmm. Who are the babes? Christians that are born again. Now, Paul speaks in church at Corinth in the first letter, I think it's chapter 3, the first 7 verses. I mentioned this a while back, where he said, I come to you to preach to you, to feed you milk. Because every Christian, when they're born again, is a babe in Christ. None of us are saved fully knowledgeable. God has hid the word of God from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto his children. Not to the world. Now go over to John 3, if you will. I'm going to use this event. I've used it many times. I'm going to use it again this morning with the account with Nicodemus to explain something to you. Because who are the wise and prudent? Well, people look at us like the preachers like myself who don't have a great education, but we don't know anything about the Word of God because we ain't got a PhD. Or we didn't go through a seminary. I'll tell you right now, if you want to ruin a young preacher, you go through a seminary with them. No, I'm not banging on Brother I'm not banging on this school over there at the church in Fort Worth. Brother Nelson, Jimmy Nelson. I'm not banging on this school at all. I'm just saying I've seen some of these pastors that went through the school, and they're right. Their minds are not right with the Lord. I don't know a lot of his. I haven't met them, but not all the teachers are Solomon Gray. Not all the teachers are Landmark. Not all the teachers are pre-tribulation. And none of them. So just because a man has a great education from a seminary or from a university doesn't make him smarter than I am in the Word of God. They may be able to preach more fancier messages, but not more substantive messages. If you want fancy, go to First Baptist. You want substance, come over here. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, look at verse 1, and in verse 1, he tells us that he was a Pharisee. And not only was he a Pharisee, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Now, picture this in your mind, think about it. Who is Nicodemus? Nicodemus is a Pharisee, 1, and 2, he's a ruler of the Jews. Now, as a well-learned Pharisee, and as a well-renowned ruler of the Jews, he was a wealthy man. Nicodemus was a wealthy man because most of these people were. He also had great knowledge of the Old Testament. He also had great knowledge of the Mosaic law, the laws that Moses presented to him, and all the ordinances of the Old Testament. He had all this. Like Paul, remember Paul said when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and he did circumcise that. He did everything. He knew it all. Paul was a genius in Hebrew and the Jewish religion. So as a well-learned Jew and a wealthy man, you wouldn't think that he'd be so ignorant of salvation, would you? I mean, he's a ruler of the Jewish religion. A ruler. So Jesus tells him in verse 3, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Anybody should be able to understand that. And he goes on to verse 5, and he says, if such a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, both of them have to do with birth. A lot of people disagree. I don't care what they disagree with. Water is natural birth, and spirit is spiritual birth. So, unless you're, because Nicodemus did what? Nicodemus misunderstood and said, well, how can I go into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, no, you've got to be born naturally of your mother through water, the breaking of the water, and born of the Spirit of God. That's the two births we go through. But the thing is, both of them are births, aren't they? Being born again, I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. So being born again is being born from above. Nicodemus, the great man he was in the Jewish religion, a Pharisee, and as a ruler of the Jews, means he was a very intelligent man on these things. And he's taking the new birth like, well, I don't know anything about it. Well, he didn't know anything about it. Most people don't know anything about it. They don't comprehend. They don't understand. Because a new birth is not something we learn. It's a revelation. Everything with God is a revelation. The new birth is not making a decision, not making a choice, it's not doing something, some kind of work to be saved. The new birth is being birthed in a process like unto a natural birth. The resemblance is not the same as in the way it's done, but the resemblance is the same as in the accomplishment of it. Either way, you come out by a mother's womb or you're born of God, what are you? You're a baby, aren't you? I don't care if you're 90 years old, you're still a baby in Christ. And to God, you're no different than this baby a mother's holding up after she breaks her water and has a natural birth. All they do is see circumstances, no matter how you get here. Once you're here and you're in your mother's arms, it's a baby, isn't it? Well, same thing when you're born again of God, you're now a babe. You don't know anything. This is the reason church at Christ, Paul had to feed them milk, is because they didn't know anything. He said, you're like babes, I'm going to feed you milk. But as smart and intelligent as Nicodemus was, he did not understand what Jesus was saying. But go back to our text now in John 11. So we must come to the conclusion that salvation is a gift of God, which makes it a mystery to people. Otherwise, people could make a choice. People could make a decision. But they can't. They can't because it isn't done that way. A new birth is not a choice on our part. It's a choice on God's part. It's a gift from God, Ephesians 2. 8:9. So he says, I thank thee, verse 25, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou, you God, you Father, has hid these things from the wise and prudent of Jews, and you revealed it unto the babes, those that are saved. I'm not going to run you back and forth, but I am going back to John 3, but you know this, if you want to turn back over, that's fine, but I'm just going to run back over for a couple minutes and then get off of it. So, while salvation is a mystery that even people like Nicodemus couldn't understand, as intelligent as he was, because we have to conclude that Nicodemus was a wise and prudent man, since he was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader. He had no learning of true salvation. He did not know Jesus as the Savior. So back in verse 2 of John 3, I read this a while back, so if you want to turn back, that's fine. He said unto him, Rabbi, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Lord and Master. People say, well, he just called him Rabbi because of the Jewish faith. No, he called him Rabbi because he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So to Nicodemus, that's all he was. He had no idea who Jesus really was. And neither does this world. Neither does most places to call themselves churches. Neither does most people call themselves Christians. People that criticize us, people that hate on us, people that call us all sorts of names because we believe that God saves sinners, because God just said he did, because God gives us the revelation of the scriptures of what they mean, because God just said he did, we're the bad people. No lost person. No matter how educated they are, or how biblically knowledgeable they are, understand God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or the Bible. It is a gift from God to understand anything. God reveals it unto his children. The Jewish people crucified Jesus. Because they didn't believe who he was. They called him the devil. They released a murderer to crucify him. These are the Jews who were supposed to be the most knowledgeable people on the scriptures. These were all the PhDs. These were all the seminaries. These were all of those that were teaching the people who had no idea who their Messiah was and taught them to hate him. And they hated him so much, they're shouting, crucify him and release the murderer. So salvation is not only a revelation, it's a work of God. He said, because thou hast hid these things, you, Father, have purposely hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you, Father, revealed them to your children. So to understand the real conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, this very biblical scholarly man, and he was, who else was more scholarly than the Jews? Right? Can you tell me a sect of people on earth before Jesus that had supposed to have more understanding in the Word of God than the Jews? They were God's chosen nation. And Nicodemus was one of them. So was Saul of Tarsus, for you say. But in fact, the entire Jewish leadership and almost the entire Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. In John 1:11, the Lord said he came unto his own, that's the Jews, and his own, that's the Jews, received him not. They rejected him. Had they known who Jesus was, you think they'd ever crucified him? You think they'd ever called him the devil? You think they'd ever beat him like they beat him? Stripped him naked? Pulled his hair out? No. No, they never would have, would they? Now, if you don't turn to John 1, you can go ahead and go over there. I'm just going over that way. So Jesus told Nicodemus these words, you must be born again. Which literally means, if you look it up in the Greek, you must be born of God. That is from above. That don't do any disservice to the words in your Bible that says born again. That's what the word means. I'm not trying to explain away the word born again, but born again means you have to be born a second time. Spiritually. And Jesus said that birth comes from God the Father. So the word born again means to be born again. It means to bear, beget, be born, bring forth, conceive, and let's do this last one, be delivered of who? Of God. In other words, God gives you a birth. Similar, not like unto your mother's birth, but similar in that he gives you birth. A new birth. He says in verse 12 and 13 of John 1, I just read verse 11 a while ago, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's the reason they received him. Because he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Listen. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God gives us a power, that is the ability or privilege, or delegated influence, that's what the word means, to become his child. Since God is the birther, begetter, or deliverer, then the new birth has to have nothing to do with us. Well, how do you mean that? Well, he says, not of blood. That's not of blood, that's natural descent, not of natural descent. Nor the will of the flesh, not of man's free will. Nor the will of man, because anyone who wants you to be saved. But of God. Every part of the new birth is of God. That's reading Jesus, thank God the Father for revealing things to the babes and hiding them from the wise and prudent. He says, but of God. God is the birther. He's the one that began us. It says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. As many as is a limited amount of people. That limited amount of people are saved because the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts, quickened their spirits, and give them the ability and give them the gift of salvation. Amen. So the Holy Spirit brings us and brings about the new birth. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Just turn to several scriptures. We're going to try to keep up. I only have a few more minutes. I want to finish it this morning. But I'd like to get down to the last part of it, too. So why the mystery of, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, but for God who is rich in mercy for his great love, whereas he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together in Christ. Now, you know what these words in parentheses mean? Well, by grace you're saved. That's an explanation of what you just heard. Salvation is of grace because God has quickened us together with Christ. Quickened, made us alive together with Christ, because of Christ, in Christ, through Christ. Now go back over to our text, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11, then we're going to Ephesians 1, and then 2 Timothy 1. We're going to try to catch up with that. We'll finish our third point. So what about salvation, the mystery of it? But you don't even know salvation's a mystery. The whole Bible's a mystery, folks. You want to know why some people get the entire book wrong? You don't know why they can't understand the simplest thing in it, and that's salvation? No child of the living God should misunderstand salvation. You know why they do? They're taught by the wrong people. When the blind lead the blind, they're driving them off in the ditch, and all of them are going to go off in the ditch together. Mm-hmm. Kind of like these Arkansas State Police. Yeah, watch them on YouTube. Oh, it's hilarious sometimes. These people run from the Arkansas State Police. They don't play with you. They'll hit your car and push you right off in the ditch. Well, a lot of times, most of them go right off. That's what lost people do. That's what these people that are lost trying to direct them on. They just push them off into a ditch, and all of them just go right in the ditch, like those cars. So, Matthew 11:26 says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Does God need to explain anything? No. But why does God do this? Because it's right in his sight. He wants to do it. He's saying the same thing right here. He says in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, and many, many other places in the scriptures. Because God chose to do it. Yeah, I don't like that. It don't matter what you like or don't like. What you like or don't like, what you see or don't see, is all relevant to God. So go to Ephesians 1. God elected it to be that way. He chose it to be that way. God was not forced to give new birth to anyone. He chose to. He says, I sent my son in John 3:16. I sent my son because I love the remnant of the world. Amen. In Ephesians 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. He chose it because he wanted to. God doesn't owe anybody anything. God doesn't owe the world. Well, God can't do that. He can't be that way. He can't love one and not love everybody. Who said they can't? I've also heard him say, well, God don't kill people. Well, one time he flooded his whole earth, killed every man, woman, child in it. He killed every living thing in it, except for what was on the ark. What do you think Noah put all them animals on the ark? Pretty simple, wasn't it? What about Sodom and Gomorrah? We're going through all this transvestite stuff, all this garbage out there where they're dancing with G-strings on, men who dress up like women in our children's laps. And isn't it funny, we have a transgender that goes to a school and shoots it up, a Christian school, and we're feeling sorry for the transgenders. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. You talk about hating God and everything godly. There it is. You're talking about Satan running things and controlling things. There it is. Now all these religious organizations call themselves churches. Well, we got to accept this stuff. One guy who is on the swimming team gets like 450th on the men's list is number one on the women's list. Women of the year on these magazines are transgender. Cuckoo, cuckoo. God gives his knowledge to people who want to have it. They're that way because God hasn't changed them. That's nature, folks. It may be cuckoo to us, but to them, they're standing up for real champions. Men who are so sissified, they have to be women. Sorry, I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired as I can be of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've got about another 10 minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So why do people not accept the truth? Why is it all these religious organizations out there call themselves churches? All these people out there who are not Christians call themselves Christians. Why don't I not accept the truth? Because God hasn't revealed it to them. I keep saying that because I want people to hear it. People read it and you know what? They ignore it. You know, when people read the Word of God, especially Christians, and they ignore the Scriptures, you know, I've got a bunch of preachers out there right now that's hammering on other people about reading the Bible. You read the Bible. But you can't just read the Bible. I don't care if you read 100 chapters tonight or next week, or if you read the whole Bible between now and Wednesday night. If you don't read what's there and understand what's there, you're reading a useless reading. Second Timothy 1, verse 9. Who hath, speaking of God, who is God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace in Jesus, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Let's get it in there. When? Before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Christ, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel. Through the gospel, not through your works. Through the gospel. Well, too, I am appointed a preacher, Paul wrote, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Last. These are two sorts of knowledge this world concerning the Bible and spiritual nature. Nature is known as knowledge. We are raised in the world to learn. What did God say about lost people? He said they're enemies of God, didn't he? God said that natural people, unsaved people, are enemies of God. What else did he say? Over in Romans 3, he said they don't want to acknowledge God. In chapter 1 of Romans, he said, in 25, he said they don't give God any credit for anything. So they create their own religion, praising the creature and not the creator. That's natural knowledge. Being enemies of God, without knowledge of God, creating their own thoughts about God in whom we naturally know nothing about. When did you learn about truth? After you were saved, didn't you? After God saved your soul and made you his child, he started teaching you things. Things you're not going to learn at First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, First Methodist Church, First United Pentecostal Church, or the Catholic Church, or the Lutheran Church, or the Master, or any other. Even most what calls themselves Baptist churches, you're not going to learn about these things. You know, I used to drive, I don't know how I got myself. I used to drive a truck down San Antonio a lot. You know I'm a Mexican food lover. I mean, you can tell I love Mexican food, right? My wife, at this point, she almost hates Mexican food. I love it, but hey, she eats my Mexican food, I eat her pie pie. You know what I mean? You got to understand how horrible it is for me to eat fish chicken. But I eat it for her. It's like she's making food. I used to go down to San Antonio. And you know where I found the best food, the best Mexican food in San Antonio? Or New Mexico? I used to go to Mexico a lot. And El Paso. You know where the best Mexican food is? In these little back room restaurants you find in these little neighborhoods. Oh, it's the best you'll ever eat. Now, why most of it's real authentic Mexican food? Not like tamales, the real authentic Tex-Mex. This is real authentic Mexican food. It's great. You know where you're going to find the best spiritual food? In the little churches. The little Sovereign Grace Baptist churches. Go to Romans 10, if you will. So there's two sorts of knowledge in this world concerning the Bible, spiritual knowledge and natural knowledge. Just because people are religious, just because they believe in a God, just because they go to church, just because they have a great zeal, just because they're working hard, doesn't mean they know the truth of God. Look at Romans chapter 4, 10. Now, this is Paul speaking about the Jews. Remember the Jews who crucified Jesus? This is them. He says in verse 1, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. Paul just prayed that his great prayer was for the nation of Israel, that they might be saved. These people that just crucified Jesus. Well, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Just because people have a zeal for God doesn't mean they're right. Just because people have PhDs don't mean they're right. Just because you go through Dallas and you see all of these humongous buildings, and they're called mega churches. The community church of this, community church of that, the church of this, the church of that. None of them are any denominational name anymore, just community church or church in of this or the church of that. No man that have a zeal for God, says in verse 3, will they be ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteous to everyone believeth. Christ is the end of the law, and I'm going to skip some of this and go right to the throat of it. Get back over here to Matthew. I close the Bible. I got all my scriptures. Now we'll go to one I ain't got on here. In chapter 11. Now go back to our text, Matthew 11, and go down to the end of it here. Real quickly, I'm going to get to this. He says in verse 28, he says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. What's a heavy laden? Works. Works. Trying to live the law that they cannot live. Trying to do things to be saved they cannot save. He just said, the Father gets it to us. If it's a gift from God, it's not earned, is it? So Jesus is pleading with these people, not pleading with them, but telling them, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I rest. Do you rest? If you're saved this morning, you rest, don't you? You're not striving to get, are you hoping to get to heaven? No. Lord tells me over in 1 John and many other places, you may know that you have eternal life. How can you know something if you don't know it? What, did God make a mistake? We know because God tells us, don't we? So he says, take my yoke upon you. And lowly in heart, you shall find rest on your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No one's going to get there any other way. You can't work your way there. You can't get yourself there. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the giving of birth, by being born of God from above. Once you are, you find rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt have eternal life. Let's all stand. Justin's going to come.